Today, for the message, I want to look at Abraham and a test that he went through in his life. I saw this cartoon about a country preacher, and he had his hands folded, and he was praying, and he was saying, "It's just me, Lord. Lord, you know I don't ask for much, not much at all. But Lord, could you grant me just one thing? Dignity. Dignity, Lord. That's all I ask for is dignity." And in the next frame, there's a huge zap of a lightning bolt, and the preacher standing there with his pants down around his legs, revealing underwear with hearts on it, and he's saying, "This is a test, ain't it, Lord?" Life is a series of tests. In fact, James, a small book in the latter part of the New Testament, says this. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation." James says that the problems that we have in our lives, the problems that come to us, they're actually tests. The Bible says repeatedly that life is a test, and it's a trust, and it's a temporary assignment. But today I want to talk about the major tests that God takes you through in order to develop your faith. I've noticed in my own life there are four kinds of teachers that have experienced throughout my life. I call these interruptions. You know, where you sit down for dinner and someone knocks at the front door. Or you go into the washroom and then the phone rings and it's in the kitchen. Or you'll be working on a deadline and then the boss asks you to attend a meeting. The other teacher I've experienced is the teacher I call inactivity, where you're forced to wait. You wait in lines, you wait in offices, you wait in traffic, you wait in waiting rooms. Canadians would rather do almost anything but wait. The third teacher I call inconveniences. Flights get canceled or delayed, or you have a car trouble. You suddenly are stranded on the side of the road. How are you going to react to those things? And the fourth teacher I call irritations. Those things that are, they're beyond your control, but they make your life uncomfortable. So those irritations, they either bring out the best in us or the beast in us. Again, how will you respond to it? So today I want us to look at a person from the Bible, and he has a lot to teach us on this topic. I'm going to look at the life of Abraham, but I'm going to look at some references in the New Testament, and we're going to see those four teachers and four specific tests that God took him through that demonstrates his remarkable faith. Even though your circumstances will vary, God will take you through the exact same four tests that he tested Abraham with. And after many years of formal education, I pass this on to my children. This great wisdom I taught them, it is helpful to prepare for tests. I know. Have you found that to be true? In fact, the tests I liked the best were the tests that were like open book tests, or the tests where the teacher gave you the questions in advance. I liked those tests. You know, but some teachers, well, they're downright mean. They like to trick you. They keep the test questions hidden. They let you come into the room, and all of a sudden they surprise you with a bunch of questions, a bunch of test questions that are on a whiteboard, and suddenly you're in utter panic. But that's not the way God is. God wants you to pass the test. In fact, he tells you in advance how you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested in the four ways that I'm going to talk about this morning. There'll be some additional ways, of course, but I'm going to mention four that we see in the life of Abraham. And I see that every single person goes through these four tests. And God always uses these tests for the same purpose: to develop your faith, to test your faith. There's only one thing that God doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you the timing of the test. It'd be ideal if you could say, well, Lord, next Thursday is kind of free. That'd be a good day for a test. But it doesn't work that way. Some of you, you're probably going through a test right now. You might not even recognize, you might not even know it, but you're going through a test. So we're going to look at the life of Abraham as referenced in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and some of the tests he went through. And these tests were designed to test his faith and to develop his faith. So just keep that in mind. That's the purpose behind it. The first test, you can write down this. You can call this test a major change. So this is the interruptions test. Abraham, he's got a great life going, and God asks him to make a major change. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. That's a remarkable thing. He went without knowing where he was going. Notice it says, you know, where. That's the first test of life. It's a major change. God asks Abraham, he picks up everything, and he has to move to another place. So this first test, it's the where question. God, where am I going? God says, I'll tell you later. How long is it going to take? God says, I'll let you know. How do I know when I get there? God says, I'll update you at that point. I mean, would you follow God if those were the terms? Would you go without knowing where? I mean, this is a major change. It's very difficult for Abraham. In the first place, he's 75 years old. He's no longer a young man. He's ready to retire, and God says, you're ready to aspire. He's ready to hang it up. God says, get it down and dust it off. He's ready to sit back and take it easy. And God says, you get ready for the biggest adventure of your life. Not only that, but he was wealthy. He has a lot to move. And they didn't have U-Haul back in those days. He had camels and cattle and sheep and servants. You know, and he's a fat cat in the city of Ur of Mesopotamia. And God says, you're going to leave Ur, and you're going to go to a place you don't know. So Abraham picked up, and without excuse, he headed out, not knowing where he was going. So this is the first method that God uses to test our faith. So you can write this down. Real faith will follow God's leading without knowing where. Real faith will follow God's leading without knowing where. So some of you, you're asking the where question right now. Lord, where do you want me to work? Lord, where do you want me to live? Lord, where do you want me to retire? Where do you want me to go to school? It's the where question. It's a major change, and it's a test. It's the missions question. Where will my mission take place, here or there? So God says, start moving, and I will direct you. If your faith hasn't led you to take risks. It's not faith. So the first test is a major change. Test number two, write down this. It's a delayed promise. A delayed promise. So this is the inactivity test. He's going to have to wait for God to fulfill his promise. It says in verses 9 and 10. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited it, the same promise. There's a word that's used twice in that sentence. It's the word promise. I mean, you might want to underline that in your Bible or in the notes, because promise, it's a very important word in the vocabulary of faith. So God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you the promised land. And Abraham wanted to know, when? But the problem is, God wants us to base our lives on promises, not explanations. So God granted him the promised land, but after he got there, there's a delay. In fact, Abraham, he not only waited his life, he waited Isaac's life and Jacob's life. So for three generations, they're out there living in tents. That's a temporary way to live. They couldn't even settle down. How would you like to live in a tent for three generations? Can you imagine Sarah? You know, Abraham, when are we going to get a real house? Like everybody else. I'm tired of this tent. I can handle a test if I know there's going to be an end to it. When the end is in sight. But it's much harder to go through a test, to handle a test in life when you don't know if there's ever going to be an end. That's difficult. That's a delayed promise. Abraham never gave up. He never went back to Ur. That's a temptation, isn't it? You remember the story of the Israelites when they left the slavery of Egypt, and they were under the leadership of Moses, and they get out in the desert, and things aren't going as planned, and they're kind of discouraged, and they said to Moses, Moses, we'd like to go back to Egypt. Sure, Moses went, what? Yeah, you know, Egypt, we know what it's like there. It's comfortable. That's the temptation, to go back to the old way, to go back to the old habits, to go back to the old self-defeating, faithless existence. Because the old is familiar, the old is comfortable. He didn't do that. So that's the second thing you can write down, is that real faith will wait for God's timing without knowing when. Real faith will wait for God's timing without knowing when. You know, some of you, you're going through the when test right now. You're wondering, when are things going to get better in my marriage, Lord? When am I going to get married, Lord? When am I going to be able to have that baby, Lord? When am I going to get well, Lord? When are you going to solve my problem? When will my kids come back to you, Lord? When will you answer my prayer, Lord? The second greatest test of life is that delayed promise. It's the when test. You know, what have you been expecting God to do in your life, and he hasn't done it yet? You know, Abraham had to wait three generations. What are you waiting for? If you're asking the when question, I think God would put up a sign. This is a test. There's always a delay. All of God's saints had a delay. I mean, Moses waited for 80 years, and Noah waited for 120 years, and Abraham waited his entire lifetime. God always takes his believers through the waiting test. So there's a major change. Real faith will follow God's leading without knowing where. and there's a delayed promise. Real faith will wait for God's timing without knowing when. Test number three, you can write down an impossible situation. This is the inconvenience test. Abraham's going to have to trust God, but there's going to be some inconvenience to it. It says in verses 11 and 12. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. We've talked about this passage before. Remember the story, Abraham's 99 years old and he still doesn't have a child, doesn't have a kid. And God says he's going to be the father of a great nation. He's already changed his name to Father of Many Nations. How embarrassing. Can you imagine how the conversation would go? What's your name? I'm Abraham, Father of Many Nations. Oh, well, how many kids do you have? Well, none. Well, how old are you? 99. Imagine what people thought about him. This guy's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. The wheel is spinning, but the hamster's dead. Body by Fisher, brains by Mattel. Something like that. They'd say, that guy's got issues. It's an impossible situation. It's physically impossible. Sarah had already gone through menopause. The Bible tells us that, you know, when God told them they're going to have a child, that they laughed. In fact, they named their son Isaac, which means laughter. This kid's a joke. Abraham looked at himself and said, no way. Sarah looked at herself and said, double no way. Abraham laughed and Sarah laughed, but God had the last laugh. An impossible problem is when you wonder how. Not when, not where, but how. How are you going to do it, Lord? I mean, Abraham's 99. It's almost comical. It's a major problem. It's an impossible situation by any standards. The great preacher, Fred Craddock, he tells the story of going to New York City, and he went into this little cafe to buy a hot dog. And there were only two people there, and they're obviously in their 70s. And Anna is the waitress, and she's 75 years old. And the man in the cafe is talking to Anna. He's saying, I'll walk you home, Anna. A lady your age needs somebody to walk you home. Why don't you want me to walk you home, Anna? She said, if you walk me home, the next thing you know, I'll be great with child. Fred Craddock says at that point he dropped his hot dog. The man says, you're 75 years old, Anna. You're past that a long time ago. She said, you remember Sarah in the Bible? She was in her 70s and she became great with child. How did that happen? The man said. Well, she believed in the man upstairs. And not only that, but the mother of her Lord. Before she even knew a man, she was great with child. The man said, how did that happen? She believed in the man upstairs. The man said, if I were a woman, I wouldn't believe in the man upstairs. This is an impossible problem. And it's the how question. And we all face it. You know, some of you, you're worried and you're discouraged and you're down and you're saying, I just don't know how God's going to do it. You just don't know how God's going to help you. God, how am I going to make ends meet this month? How am I going to put my kids through university? God, how are you going to heal me? God, how am I going to be able to find time for a ministry? I'm already too busy. It's a test. Just like Abraham. You're asking, how in the world are you going to change my husband? How in the world are you going to repair my marriage? God, how in the world are you going to get through to my child? The how questions of life. So you can write down this. The real faith expects a miracle without knowing how God will do it. Without knowing how God will do it. And there's one more test. And we see it in Abraham's life. And it is the greatest test. It is the ultimate test. And I'm so thankful that God tells us in advance that this test is going to come into your life. You can count on it. Test number 4, you can write down a senseless tragedy. So it's not the when, it's not the where, it's not the how, it's the why question of life. Why is this happening, God? This is the ultimate test. Abraham faced it. You will face it too. And this is the test that causes us to ask, why? The fact is, there's a lot in our world that does not make sense. And people will say, it's not fair. Well, who said the world would be fair? God never said that the world would be fair. That's why there's a heaven and a hell. Because one day God's going to settle a score. One day God will make everything fair. It would be unfair for people like Hitler to get away with what they did. So I believe in a hell because of the fairness of God. But here in this world, things are not fair. In fact, when people read this story, they have more questions about this story in the Bible than maybe any other story. It's a story when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And so God says to Abraham, this son who is all of your hopes and all of your dreams and all of your aspirations, this son who will be the fulfillment of that promise I gave you, I want you to sacrifice him on an altar. I want you to kill your son out of obedience to me. You know, our response to that is, why would God ask him to do that? It doesn't sound like Christianity, does it? It says in verses 17 and 18, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. There it is again. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Again, it says it was a test of his faith. It was a test of Abraham's commitment. It didn't make sense. It was ridiculous. It was tragic. There's no precedent for this. I mean, Abraham didn't know about God the way we know about God. Abraham didn't know about the nature of God. He had never seen Jesus. He didn't know that God was loving and compassionate. He didn't know any of those things. All he knew was that God had said, take the life of your son. It didn't make sense. There's a lot in the world that doesn't make sense. It's a test. It's a test of your commitment. Abraham, he had no assurance that God would save or spare son Isaac. He didn't have any assurance of that. But look at what he did have, what he thought about. It says in verse 19, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. What was his confidence? His confidence was that if God could give him a son at 99, when it's physically impossible, incapable of, you know, of having children, if God can do that kind of miracle, can raise his son from the dead if he's been sacrificed. That's his confidence. That was his faith. Here's the incredible truth I see in Abraham's life. It's what makes him such a great person of faith. Abraham decided that God had a right to make any demand on his life that he so chooses. That's true for you and me too. Because God is God and he has a right to make any demands on your life just because he says so. You wouldn't be alive without God. You wouldn't have anything you have without God. So he has the right to do as he pleases. And again, it's a test. So you can write this down. Real faith will trust God's purpose without knowing why. Even in the contradictions of life. And sometimes there are contradictions. Are there not? So this is exactly the point where many people lose their faith. They have enough faith to follow God if everything goes smoothly. But as soon as something does not make sense, their faith evaporates. You know, some of you, right now you're going through the why test and you're asking God, why? God, why did I lose my job? God, why did you let my spouse have that affair? God, why did my kid run off and get caught up in drugs? God, why am I going bankrupt? God, why did I have a miscarriage? God, why did my parents die? Those are the senseless tragedies that we all experience. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking questions. I think Abraham probably asked some questions of God. There's nothing wrong with saying, when God? There's nothing wrong with saying, how God? There's nothing wrong with saying, where? Or why? But the issue is, how will you respond if you don't get an answer? When God is silent to the wise. That's the real test of real faith. If I were to ask you, do you believe in God? Most of you would say yes. In fact, most Canadians say they believe in God. A poll suggests that 2/3 of Canadians believe in God. But that is not what I'm talking about today. The Bible says that the devil believes in God. The Bible says the demons tremble, but you're not going to see them in heaven. See, faith, it's more than intellectual assent to say, I believe in God. It has to be a heartfelt act of trust. Real faith will follow God's direction without knowing where. And real faith will wait on God's timing without knowing when. Real faith will expect a miracle without knowing how. And real faith will trust God's purpose without knowing why. Those are the four tests. And like a lot of tests in life, if you fail the test, you get to take it over again. God never gave Abraham any kind of explanation for these tests. You know why we have so many spiritually immature people today? Because people today always demand an explanation for everything. We think God owes it to us. We want an explanation for everything. But if you got to have all the whys and all the hows and all the whens and all the wheres figured out in life, then you're not living by faith. It's that simple. If you have to have it all in a nice little box that you can control, if you got to have it all figured out, you're not living by faith. So how is your faith? How would you grade yourself in these four tests? The thing about human tests is when you take a human test, the key to acing a test is knowing all the answers. But in God's test, the way you ace God's test is you keep on believing when you don't have the answers. You don't know where you're going. And you don't know how God's going to accomplish it. And you don't know why it's happening. But you keep trusting. The test is you hang in there even though you don't have all the answers. Which of these tests are you dealing with right now? Some of you, maybe you're going through a major change. You're asking, you're asking the where question. God, where? Where do you want me to live? Where do you want me to retire? Where do you want me to work? Where do you want me to go to school? Where do you want me to put my kids in school? Where, Lord? Where should I serve you in the church? Where? He's made a major change. He's asking you to make a major change. He's saying you cannot stay where you are, but you have no idea where you're going. It's a test. You know, one of the hardest things in life is knowing when to hold on and when to let go. Only God can tell you that. Some of you, you're facing the second test. You're dealing with a delayed promise, and you're saying, God, when? When are you going to meet my need? When will we get out of debt? When are you going to help me with my problem? When are you going to heal me? When are you going to save my family? When are you going to reconcile me with that person I'm at odds with? When's it going to happen? When are things going to turn around? When are you going to answer my prayer? It's a test. Maybe you're dealing with the impossible problem, and in your own viewpoint, there's just no way this can work out. Just like Abraham, he's 99, saying, there's no way I can be a father. How? How are you going to do it, Lord? How are you going to help me? How are you going to change me? How are you going to get me out of this mess? It's a bad one. How, Lord? Some of you, you're grieving. You've had a senseless tragedy. In the deepest part of your heart, you're saying, why? Why is this happening? I don't understand it. Why did my spouse get sick? Why did they run out on me? Why did I lose my job? Why did I raise my kids the best I know and their life's a mess? I'm embarrassed. Why? God says it's a test. I'd encourage you to read all of Hebrews 11. There's a lot of people listed there. And sometimes people have called this passage the heroes of the faith. The hall of fame for people of the faith. Some of those people, they got their heads cut off. Some of them were burned at the stake. Some of them got their eyes poked out. Some of them were drowned. All kinds of gruesome stuff happened to them. And yet, there they are in the hall of faith. The point is this, that living by faith does not exempt you from problems. Did you know that as a Christian, you're going to have all the same problems you had before you became a believer? But a Christian, although they have the same problems, they have a power to help them with those problems. In fact, sometimes when we're going through a difficulty or a problem, we pray, God, remove this problem, remove this difficulty. But instead of taking it away, God takes you through it. Why does he do that? Because it's a test. It's a test designed to develop your faith. It says in verses 39 and 40, all these people, talking about all these list, this list of people in Hebrews chapter 11, it says all these people are in a good reputation because of their faith. In other words, they passed the test. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us. Now hold on here. He's talking about these heroes of the faith, and he's saying, he said these people had promises and dreams and goals, and they didn't come true, but they're still heroes of the faith? Yes. Because they accepted it when they didn't get all that God had promised. Anybody can trust God when they get all they want. But real faith develops when there's a delay or a detour or even a dead end. Some of you, you're trying to face a full-time problem on part-time faith, and it won't work. It just won't work for you. You need a full-time faith to handle life's full-time problems. Someone summarized Abraham's faith in this way. They said, faith hears the inaudible, sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Let's pray. God gives us these tasks to develop our faith. And he wants you to pass the test. So he tells you in advance how it's going to go. You just don't know the timing. Would you pray a prayer in your heart? Would you just say, God, help me to follow your leading, even when I don't know where it's going to lead. God, help me wait for your timing, even when I don't know when the answer is going to come. And Lord, help me to expect a miracle, even though I have no way to figure out how that could happen. And Lord, help me to trust your purposes, even when I don't know why. When things seem senseless, when things don't make sense, when it just seems like chaos, when it seems unfair. It's okay to ask God when and how and why and where, but just say, Lord, if you don't answer, I'm still going to trust you. And then just mention to God the circumstance that's been a test for you. And say, Lord, help me to keep trusting you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Abraham. Thank you that he's really an encouragement to us. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't take dynamic, unreal faith that none of us have. It just takes a little faith in a big God. It would help us to know when to hold on and when to let go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.